only case I could find.
Right.
Everything else was like, I'm in pain. I'm like, yes, but no.
But there's more. Yeah. I'm hoping now that Fourth Wing and like hopefully other stories like get made with like more chronic illnesses, but like made properly where they do the research and not just be like, oh, mm-hmm. I'll throw this in here because it'll spice up my story. But I really hope it opens the door for writing more books about like chronic illness and giving that to the main characters. I think that would be a really good thing.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Goodish Girls. I'm Madison, and today I'm joined by a very special guest. You may know her from TikTok or Instagram, where she brings some of our favorite characters to life, such as Violet Sorengale of the Empyrean series, or even Marvel's Yelena Belova from Black Widow and Thunderbolt. She also might be Steve Harrington's biggest fan. Everyone, today we have Liz.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you for joining. Are you, in fact, Steve the Hare Harrington's biggest fan?
Honestly, I think so. Like, I would be surprised if there was someone out there that was a bigger fan. I mean, I do have a tattoo for Steve Harrington, so.
Shut up, you do?
I do. I have. It's not of his face. I will say that.
Okay.
Not of his face.
Just a subtle nod.
Yeah. Like, it's his Scoops Ahoy hat, his sunglasses, and then his nailed bat. It's on my leg.
That's such a cute idea. We love to see it. So you have built quite the following with your creative cosplays. What first made you want to get into cosplay in the first place?
I have two older siblings. I have an older sister and an older brother. We're a huge nerd family. We love Marvel, DC, anything. Name it, anime. And my sister was super into cosplay at the time. She's a sewer, so like she can literally make anything, which
nice.
I unfortunately don't have that. So I got to watch that aspect of it. She got to create her own costumes, and I thought that was a really cool thing. The concept of like being able to become one of your favorite characters and just dress up as them, like we can't do this on Halloween. Like, we can do this every day. Like, that's an option. So I kind of got it from them. My first cosplay, I think, was Harley Quinn. It was so bad. I started off with superheroes. I did anime cosplays like for the first part of it. The only like bookish one that I did back then was Annabeth from Percy Jackson. Like, I love her so much. They are kind of the ones that introduced me into the whole concept of cosplay. And then, of course, like, I think Musical.ly was out back then. It wasn't TikTok.
Yep.
It was Musical.ly.
I remember her.
Yeah. So we had that, and I stumbled across some, like, videos of people, you know, making content with their cosplays. And I was like, wait a second. I'm an actress. I want to do that full time. Like, combining cosplay and acting, putting that on, like, the internet. That's interesting. So I started doing it, and here we are.
And I love seeing everyone's creativity whenever it comes to bringing cosplays to life. And I feel like a lot of times in the community, I see a lot of people giving advice to others who might be new into getting into cosplay. Something I hear often is people saying, if you're just getting started, maybe visit your closet. See, we have there. Use things that are around the house. Yes. Have you ever had to improvise or get super creative whenever it comes to materials for a cosplay?
Absolutely. Especially like starting out. Everything is so expensive. Like, I run to Amazon most days now, but when I first started, I didn't have the funds to like buy things. So I would just source things from my closet and see what could work. I think there was one cosplay that I used a scarf as the shirt, and I just wrapped it around as best I could. And I'm like,
that's amazing.
You know, I'm not wearing this out anywhere. It's just for a video. No one needs to see how pretty it looks in the back. But yeah, so like I started out with closet cosplays, and some of those are the views are really high up there rather than the ones that I've spent money on. So I say if you can do it at home, do it at home. Most people starting off don't have wigs, and that's okay. You don't have to have a wig to do it. I think if you're really passionate about it and you really want to have fun, like, just do it. It's so much fun. It's so freeing. Don't feel like you have to follow a certain agenda and like my video has to look specifically like this because Liz does it this way, or like this person does it this way. I think when people have their own flair with their videos and just feel great about it, that's all that matters.
Yeah. One question that I've always had, because this character, I met her last year. I love her. And I need to know, for those who cosplay Jude, how the heck do you get the horns?
Oh my gosh. It took me a while to get like her hair. Oh my gosh. It took me a while to get like.
Because you do two looks with her hair.
I've done so many. Listen, okay. So when I first started off, mm-hmm. I used this headband that I think was used for one of those weird Halloween cosplays with like little horns on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I detached those
from
the headband. I added like little kind of clips on them so like they could just clip into the wig, and then I would just wrap the hair in.
That's smart.
But then like, if I didn't want to keep doing that every time, like, well, I have to get into Jude. Now I'm gonna have to take time to do this and make sure they're perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I actually saw this tutorial on TikTok. I can't remember the creator that had it, but they showed how they did their, Jude wig. And mm-hmm. of course you have to sacrifice this wig to Jude. Like, it's never another character's. It's just Jude now, but like cutting off like the wig hair and just like hot gluing it, and the horns are made out of foil and felt wrapped around it. So if the hair separates, you still have that brown color. And mm-hmm. then you tacky glue the hair all around it. So it's not moving. It's not moving or anything. But
that's insane.
I've done that. And yeah, even now, like, I'm like, dude, your hair, dude. Why?
Yeah. I was like, that's like, I love it. But I mean, it's one thing to do like a braid crown, but horns?
Some of these fantasy girl characters, I'm like, guys, when do you have time to do that?
They're really out here doing the most. And she didn't even really do her own hair. She had someone to do her hair for her most of the time.
Yeah, so true. So true, girl.
And so you said that you also act and that you have done musical theater in the past. How has that background helped you approach cosplay, especially whenever it comes to embodying these characters, whether it's for just a video or maybe even doing bookish events?
I guess this applies to both. What I do for musical theater, when I get a role or for any role, even if it isn't musical theater, just anything mm-hmm. like that, I always love to do character study. Like, what makes this character, what's their motivation in the story of where they are? What makes them get out of bed every single day?
Mm-hmm.
What makes them mad? Like, certain things like that, like putting into perspective of that, and getting to really know these characters. And kind of taking that into like a TikTok video. Like, if I'm doing this random sound, I'm like, okay, what scene can I apply this to?
Mm-hmm. But
having that extra background that you've added really adds depth to that. And that's what I think really helps my acting when I do like little silly TikTok videos, is like, okay, I have this depth that Violet's fear is not being able to save Zayden and all of this and that, when it's just mm-hmm. a silly video like, hey, I love you, don't leave. And I'm like, okay. But also playing these characters, you bring these to life for people at these events. Some people are like, hey, I just want to talk to you as Liz. Can you like mm-hmm. not do that? And I'm like, cool, yeah, I got you. But like, I think my first event was Elaine, and I had mm-hmm. this person come up to me, and I was so terrified because some people are very passionate about the hate for Elaine that they have. And I was so scared. I was mm-hmm. like, I'm going to get beaten up at this event probably. But there was this guy that came up to me, and I was so nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, I love you. Like, Elaine is like my favorite character, and she's just so strong. And he just went on this huge tangent of just how this character is to him. Mm-hmm. And I was just standing there like,
aww.
I'm like,
that's
what?
A lot, but thank you.
I know, I'm like, oh my God. And then so he left. And I think Ashley, who was playing Feyre, came up to me. She was like, hey, you okay? And I was just like, I thought everyone hated me. And I just started bawling. Like,
aww.
It was such a good like opportunity to get to bring her to life. But that's what I love about it, is just having that extra layer and just bringing these stories to life and just making them seem like real people at these events. That's what I strive for. You meet your favorite characters, all of that. Like, I love it so much.
That's so awesome. I freaking love supporting people who do cosplay. I wish I could do it. I like grew up dancing. I was more of a silent role kind of person.
I still think you could do it.
We'll see. I don't know. So we talked about ACOTAR and we talked about musical theater. Because I have another musical theater person with me, I have this crack theory, and I can always find a book person or a musical theater person, but never both.
Okay.
Have you seen Les Miserables?
Okay, I've heard of it. I haven't seen it, but like I know.
Okay, you know like the concept?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hear me out. I know a hot topic with the ACOTAR community is, of course, Elriel or Gwynriel. All opinions matter. I see you, Asriel and Eris girlies. Don't you worry. So I have a theory that Elaine and Az are going to be like Cosette and Marius, which is the two main love interests. And Gwen is going to be like Eponine, who's like best friend. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like Elaine and Az are going to have like a chosen mate situation. And I feel like the bond's going to snap for Gwen. And she's like, I'm not going to tell them because I want him to be happy and I want my friend to be happy, because they will be friends, because they are going to call him out about the necklace. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I need that girl power. Call him out.
For
real. Bond over it.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to be fainted mates. Gwen's not going to tell him until like last 10 chapters, big battles happening, and she's going to get hurt trying to protect him. And then she's going to tell him. And then it's going to like snap for him, but it's going to be too late. And that's my crack theory. And it lives rent free in my head.
That's terrible. That's so heartbreaking. I could totally
see that happening.
I could totally see that happening. But like, that's so sad.
The way my brain thinks whenever it comes to fantasy, like I will just take a thread and I will go completely left field, like tragic wise, or just like these astronomical assumptions. Like, don't even get me started on the Fourth Wing. I could go all day, 2 hour long TED talk.
I feel that. I'm the same way. I'm like, please just don't start it, because I will not be able. I won't be able.
All right. So I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about something that I find truly amazing. I'm so happy that you do this. Recently, you've opened up about navigating life with a chronic illness. I would just like to say, as a fellow chronic illness girly who's been fighting the silent battle and finally got a diagnosis myself, those are hard to come by.
Amazing. That's amazing. Oh my gosh.
Thank you. And just thank you for sharing your journey, for being a visible voice in this space, showing that creativity can coexist in everyday life, because it do be hard on the hard days.
I really do.
How has your experience with chronic illness shaped with like the way that you read, or maybe in the way that you choose to create content?
So growing up.
Yeah.
In the beginning. So I didn't realize I had anything until like just, I want to say probably like when Fourth Wing came out. That's like when I like figured out like, oh, wait, this isn't normal.
Yeah. Actually, it sounds a little too familiar.
I was like, what do you mean? So like I've had it all my life. So like navigating that part, I was just like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah.
But like, so reading Fourth Wing and like reading Violet's story and stuff like that, I like picked out things and I was like, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are like, yeah, this is about hypermobility, EDS and stuff like that. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean? What? And so like, yeah. So navigating creativity and finally getting like a diagnosis, I want to say like last year, having that diagnosis and like finding out that like I have that stuff, it's difficult, especially on like hard days. Like you said, like flare ups, like I don't want to do anything when I have those. Like, I just want to stay in bed. I don't talk to anybody. I just want to be alone in my room and just, you know, with my heating pad or anything like that. But
heating pad and ginger ale for me.
Yeah. I'm like, but like, you know, unfortunately, like we live in a world where you can't not do anything. So like navigating that, I give myself grace, because, you know, those are long periods of times that like some days like flares can, it can be hours long, it can be days long, it can be weeks long. So I try and give myself a grace period, you know, like if I'm not feeling good, I don't push myself to make content. But I do feel good and out of a flare, I'll make content, but I'll film in bulk. So I have like drafts for days. So like for days that I don't feel like doing anything, I have stuff to post and I can still be creative that way. But I grew up very stubborn. And so some days that I should be taking a break, I'm like,
yeah,
come on. Like, why? I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been very humbling, I will say. Like, my body's like, hey, don't do that. But yeah, no, it's difficult, definitely sometimes. Especially like getting older, I feel like it's gotten a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've had this experience, but like, I feel like I could navigate it pretty well. But recently, like getting older, like my flares are like more aggressive and like there's just a bunch of stuff going on. Like, I have a heart monitor on right now. Like, it's crazy. It's a wild time.
Yeah, I don't have a heart monitor, but I was told to start wearing compression socks. So I do those.
I'm in this team.
Yeah. Yeah, my friend, we both have different illnesses, but we both bond over that. And like, if we're out together, if something's too sweet and if we're at like a cafe, she's like, I don't know if I can drink this. And I was like, go ask him for another one. She's like, I don't want to be a problem. I'm like, this is your health. Like, this is okay.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's also like a big thing with chronic illness girlies is like, we don't want to be an inconvenience to people. And that's like, it's like the people pleaser, like tendencies, like, oh, I don't want to tell them I'm tired and I want to go home because all my spoons are used up and I don't want to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But like, at the end of the day, you have to like take into consideration that your body is telling you to do things and you need to listen to it, or else down the road you're going to get a major flare up or you're going to feel awful and you're going to wonder, why do I feel this way? And it's like, well, you didn't listen to me when I told you to do this thing. So yeah, no, it's rough, but you know, every day is a battle.
Yeah, we're definitely both each other's accountability partners, because like, there's also times where I'll get super shaky, and especially if we're at like a convention or event, she's like, go get water. I'm like, I'm fine. She's like, go get water.
Yep, I feel you. I'm the same way. Yeah, I have friends that do the same thing. They're like, hey, make sure you're doing electrolytes. Make sure you're doing this. Make sure you're doing like, got it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I feel like also on big travel days, especially doing events and being on airplanes, every time I get home from an event, I have a flare up. Time.
I always have one right before I went to an event, and in my little bag, I had an emergency bag of Cheez-Its in case I needed salt, because I was like, you never know, man.
Listen, I've just started to, I think we're going down the route of trying to figure out if I have POTS. And so
I was almost on that road. I was this close to getting a table tilt test. And then I was like, actually, that sounds kind of scary. I'm good.
Oh, no. They've talked about it. So, like, I'm doing this heart monitor for 2 weeks. And so I'm on day two. It's not even that long. And it's annoying me so much. But so after that, I have to get, like, an echo done of my heart and stuff like that. And then if nothing, they don't know if that does anything, they're going to do a tilt table. And I'm terrified. I'm so scared.
I'll think of you. My friend that had POTS, whenever I told her I was thinking about it, she's like, listen, I had it so bad that they didn't even need to do the tilt table test. I was like, that's awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. I'm so nervous. Hopefully they find something with this and I don't have to do it.
Yeah. That's always like, my tilt table was supposed to be to prevent me from getting surgery. Tilt table couldn't be done until like eons later. So I went through with the surgery, but the surgery actually worked out. And that's how I got my diagnosis.
That's good. At least you got that.
I know that we talked a little bit about Violet. Do you find yourself gravitating towards other characters or maybe even books just due to personal experience with everything going on?
I think Violet is mainly the one that I kind of cling to. She's been there since the beginning of like finding out things, and also like we're the same age, and like I've been like growing up with her like through the books.
That's
so I was
cute.
Just like, yeah, it's so strange. Like talking about it, I'm like, it's so weird how much we have in common, because like we're the same height. I'm the littlest in my family. I have an older brother and an older sister.
That's
and like
so funny,
it's so weird. Like reading it, I was like, this is about me. This is really weird. But I also really like, I play Barbara in Red Hood Resurrection, and she is a wheelchair user. So like she has her own struggles as well. And so like I really relate to how she deals with things as well. and overcoming like a tragedy that happened to her and leaving her paralyzed and having to like relearn her life and, you know, be okay with how her life is now. Those types of characters, I'm like, y'all are mine because I can't. But I think those are the two characters I really, really like find myself in and I kind of gravitate towards when I'm having like a bad day and I feel like, man, like, I don't know if I can do this like today. I don't know if I have the strength to do it. And I just think of them, that they are able to push through so many things with the things that they have, then I can do it. One of my favorite quotes from Fourth Wing that I actually recently got tattooed on my ribs was when Zayden tells Violet, Violence, remember, it's only the body that's fragile. You are unbreakable. And so I got
that. I love that quote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. So those are those two characters that I hold very close to me.
That's awesome. For some reason, I was thinking of the ACOTAR one of only you can decide what breaks you. But I was like, no, that's not it.
That's a good one too, though. That's a good one too. There's so many ones. There's the one that's like not strength isn't only physical or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I really like. There's just so many good ones.
I feel like I haven't found like my character yet. Because essentially I was diagnosed with endometriosis and that's not represented too much in books. But ironically, one of my favorite things to do is to always wear bookish merch whenever I go to a doctor's appointment. Because if I can find a bookish girly, then great distraction. Like we'll just talk about books the whole entire time. But after my surgery, the nurse who was rolling me out, I was wearing a Fireheart You Do Not Yield sweatshirt. And she was like, oh my gosh, I love your sweatshirt. So she gave me a flower right before they wheeled me out. And at first I was like, flower. I love this. Just like in my little DeLulu anesthetic mind. Huh. But whenever I reflected back on it, I was like, this is actually kind of beautiful because Fireheart sweatshirt, flower. It reminded me in Kingdom of Ash whenever they're like, oh, what flower is this? And it's the King's Flame. And they say like, oh, it hasn't bloomed. But then after the battle, the flowers return. I was like, oh, maybe this is the end of my war.
Yes, it is. And we're going to say it is.
Yes. I was like, so full circle.
I know. When I started my diagnosis journey, like the day that I walked in, my nurse was a Fourth Wing girly. So like we talked about Fourth Wing the entire time. So it was so much fun. I love when books can just make you like come together, especially in those like situations like that.
I don't know about you. I think we touched on it a little bit, but I know unless I have like my chronic illness bestie, or as we both call each other, our sister in chronic illness. I don't know if you ever find it hard to talk about struggles, especially with other people who might not be going through the same thing, because symptoms are so specific that unless you quite truly live with it every day, it's hard for anyone to be like, oh, no, I get it. Do you ever find it hard, or I guess I should say, do you ever have pressure to mask your symptoms or illnesses whenever it comes to creating anything online or just in creative spaces? And how do you navigate that?
I think when I first figured out that something wasn't right and when I got my diagnosis, like I was very nervous to talk about it because I didn't want people to look at me differently. I don't know.
Yep.
I'm just so scared of what people think about me. Like even getting like my heart monitor, like I'm glad it's down here and not like up here where people can see it. Cause like being in the cardiologist's place, I was the youngest person there and people were looking at me like I was
the
problem.
That's the worst.
I'm like, gosh. So like when I first started, like I was just so scared to talk about it because I didn't want people treating me differently. I didn't want to be looked at like, oh, you have a disease. You're like not okay. And like pointing out constantly. Or like people seeing that and thinking I can't do certain things when I can. I just have to do it like a different way or like take it slower. So that's a huge, it was a huge worry for me. And it's still kind of like in the back of my mind sometimes. Like before today I posted like a get ready with me to go get my heart monitor kind of thing. And to kind of show like that side of my life, because that's what my life is right now. And I kind of hesitated because I was like, well, I'm an actress and I don't want directors to come across this video and be like, oh, she's chronically ill. We're not going to hire her because she has issues. So it's still something I struggle with. It really is. But like at the end of the day, if someone is going to basically tell you that, hey, I'm not going to give you a job, or hey, I'm not going to be your friend or talk to you because you have an illness that you can't help that you have, then they're the problem. They're the problem and it's not you. So it's taken definitely like a bunch of time to get over and be more comfortable in myself and confident that this is me and this is a part of me that I love and I'm learning to love through this journey and that I don't need to be scared about it.
Yeah, it's definitely hard, especially because I know, unfortunately, a lot of people with fourth wing, sometimes people are like, oh my gosh, Violet complains too much. I'm like, for people who struggle with EDS, like that's life.
Exactly. I definitely agree. Like I've heard so many people be like, she's so annoying. She is so annoying. She's constantly like, I'm going to faint. I'm going to throw up. I'm going to pass out. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bro, that's my life 24/7. Like you did. When I get out of the car, I'm like, I'm going to faint. Like yeah. I'm going to go down. So like, and I think that's also another thing is like the concept of, we know Violet is chronically ill, but like the concept of a woman being so exhausted and also having an attitude and immediately going, she's pregnant, is wild. Yeah. I know that theory is like going around about the like, Violet's pregnant. Mm-hmm. She's not. She has POTS and they're flying for like 16 plus hours. Like that's wild.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I remember I was talking to someone because usually like whenever I first got on the podcast with Dallas, because they created it before I joined, it was like during Flare Up City. Fun fact, if anyone ever goes back and just watches through episodes, a lot of them, you can find me wearing these bad boys for nausea. And you'll just like see them just like poke out of my sleeve. But like every time before we record, Dallas be like, are you okay? Do you need anything? I'm like, I'm fine. And we had a guest come on. And I think we were talking about fourth wing and Violet. Mm-hmm. And he brought up the whole like, yeah, she complains too much about her illness. I'm like,
oh, enemy territory.
Okay.
Enemy territory.
I see.
Yeah. I was in a conversation like that where it was just crazy. But someone was like, oh, yeah, she's just... She complains too much. She talks about this too much and she's just so annoying. Blah, blah. I was like, you know what? It'd be pretty annoying too if I like felt like my body was falling apart 24/7. I'm just saying. I would be completely.
Yeah.
And they're in like this girl chronically ill riding wagons in war. I would be complaining too. I'd probably be a menace to society. Like that's wild to say about her. I was like, okay, you know, whatever.
My favorite thing is I did have someone snap at me one day and then the following day they're like, you know what? I'm so sorry. I was sick. I wasn't feeling well. And I'm just like in my head, I'm like, fun fact, I'm not well all the time.
I'm
like
sick.
It's it's like the scene in Marvel where the Hulk is like, you want to know my secret? I'm always angry. It's like, you want to know my secret? I'm always sick. I could be crankier.
Do you know it? I created like a little meme with that because I was like, that's me. Because it's like, it was like, man, like, why do you complain about always being tired? It's like, well, because I'm always tired. Like, I'm literally never, ever fully rested. Like, I've never felt like, man, I got a good night's sleep. I'm like, no,
I don't know her.
I don't know. Never seen her. Never seen her in my life. That's wild.
Yeah. Life is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also, I was actually talking about this recently. I think it's good that fourth wing came out and that we have so many people that like have found a diagnosis through this. But also, it's kind of a double-edged sword because you have people that are like, my knee hurts today. I have it. And I'm like,
yeah,
what? Like, that's wild. That's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it definitely was like a double-edged sword, like with people like saying that they have this disease, but they don't live with it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's strange. It's very strange. It's like, oh, my knee, like I can't even run or like jump or else my knee goes the other way. Like, that's wild. That's crazy. But yeah, it's just a strange time, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the only book I've ever read that has endometriosis representation, it's called Confessions of a Virgin on a Dating App. And like, even whenever I read it, literally every single case of endometriosis I could find, it's always like period pains, exhausting periods, pain with sex. And I'm like, honestly, not my main concern. Like, my thing was I was constantly nauseous 24/7. And the only person I could find that had the same exact main concern was Bindi Irwin. That was the only case I could find. Right. Everything else was like, I'm in pain. I'm like, yes, but no.
There's more. Yeah. I'm hoping now that Fourth Wing and like hopefully other stories like get made with like more chronic illnesses, but like made properly where they do the research and not just be like, oh, I'll throw this in here because it'll spice up my story. But I really hope it opens the door for writing more books about like chronic illness and giving that to the main characters. I think that would be a really good thing.
One thing I wish would change ever so slightly is I know SJM loves to use the term watery bowels. And for a hot minute, I was misdiagnosed with IBS. And I was like, not wrong, but like the fact that that phrase is used so often, it's not taken seriously.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. I've seen so many jokes about that. Like, about
I make jokes about it.
So crazy. Oh my gosh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that was SJM's intentions with Farah and Nesta a little bit, but I'm like, if that is, maybe clean up a little bit.
Right, yeah.
Just a little bit.
We'll see if Elaine has watery bowels.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for sharing your story, because I know that there are probably listeners out there who might be navigating something similar, and I'm really hoping that these conversations help people feel less alone, because even though they might not have found their book yet or their character that they can relate to, hopefully we can make someone feel a little more heard today.
Yes, yes, I agree. Thank you for having me and letting me talk your ear off. So
no problem. I will be asking some rapid fire questions though. So I hope you're ready.
I'm ready.
No pressure.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Question number one. Who is your favorite character to cosplay?
Gosh. First one that comes to mind is Violet or Yelena. I think those are my favorites.
Okay. Solid choices. If you could adapt a book into a musical, what book would it be?
Oh my god. Oh no. Honestly, okay, serious answer, probably Fourth Wing because I'm obsessed. But funny
interesting
enough, Cruel Prince. Could you imagine that?
That honestly, that would hit.
That would hit. That would be so funny.
And I have seen clips of, I think, someone making like an unofficial ACOTAR musical.
I saw those, yeah.
I'm like, please don't get canceled like the Bridgerton one did. Please.
Please. Please. That's so crazy. Oh my gosh.
All right. And then what is a trope that never gets old for you?
Love me at enemies to lovers, but also whenever like, okay, two more. Okay. I was like, which one? Okay. The who did this to you? I love those. Every single time I'm like, he's going to say it. But also, when they get to the end and there's one bed, I'm like, this is it.
Yes.
I love the one bed trope where she's like, no, you're not going to sleep on the ground. Like, you have to sleep in the bed. And I'm like, ah! I love it. I love it so much. It's the best.
So you like one bed. How do we feel about one horse?
That's a thing?
Yeah. Like, there's only one horse, so now we both got to ride the horse together.
Okay,
Like, backpack a horse?
I've never run into that scenario yet.
I was crossing my fingers during Fourth Wing. I was hoping that Zayden would be the horse, and then Violet would be hugging him. I would have eaten that up.
Ugh. Rebecca! Like,
Rebecca, if you're listening.
He's been.
Like, Violet can ride her own horse, but, like, also, this would be kind of cute.
This would be kind of cute. Like, what if she's just like, I don't know how to write anymore.
Yeah. Like, I also feel like, because you did say that you like the who did this to you. One of my other, it's a really sad crack theory, and someone brought it up before I thought about it. But it was after Iron Flame, whenever they save Violet after the interrogation. And he says something along the lines of, you can, or next time, whenever I'm like in the situation, something. And I'm like, what if in book four, we do a role reversal where she saves Zayden from being interrogated by the Venom?
Yes.
Oh my God. I would hate for Zayden, but like.
I love me a parallel. Like, that is my favorite thing. Like, that would be good. The one scene that I really want paralleled for, like, ACOTAR is when Azriel saved Elaine. I would love to see Elaine save Azriel. And, like, him do the whole, like, you came for me. And then, like, you know, like, you do that whole thing. Please.
We're not asking for much.
I'm not asking for much. This is just one scene and that's it. Whatever happens after that is fine. But like, I just need that.
That would scratch an itch. I would love that. Okay. Also, if you could have a dinner with one fictional character, who would it be?
A dinner.
Ooh, okay.
Any fictional character?
Mm-hmm.
Steve Harrington.
I mean, okay. Would you be having dinner with Steve or would you be getting ice cream with Steve?
Ice cream for sure. If it Solid was, choice. Okay. Romantic Steve, but if I wanted like comedy, it's so fun to have like dinner with Riddick.
Listen, I need Riddick and Carrion from Quicksilver to have a crossover. I need them to meet because I would be losing my mind and I'd be laughing so hard.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That would be so funny. Yeah. I don't know. Those are the only two. Like Steve, love of my life. I swear, guys. This is so off topic, but the amount of edits on my For You page of Steve Harrington right now, insane. I'm like, please.
There's one that I saw, you know, the tears trend, Sabrina Carpenter? That, but Steve, and it's him reading a book, and whenever it does the, oh my gosh, it transitions to someone who made an edit of Steve in the middle, Billy coming into screen in front, and Eddie coming to screen behind. And I'm like, honestly, I wouldn't be mad about it. Like, hello?
Hello? Oh my gosh. No, I've seen so many edits of Steve, but also like Joe Keery and his like band on stage. And I'm like,
can't do it. I totally didn't know he had a band until I was listening to one of his songs. And I think someone said that was his band. I was like, huh?
I've been, listen.
Who? I will Steve and Jonathan?
Die on this hill. I've been a listener since day one. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so now he's getting more popular, which I'm so proud of him. Great, great job that he's getting more popular. But I'm like.
But like, you were here first.
I was listening to his new album at like 3 a.m. Come on. Like,
wow.
That's
not. Dedication.
He's dedicated. Joe Keery, if you're watching this.
Yes, Joe Keery. Okay. And then another question, what is your favorite comfort movie or musical that you always go back to?
Ooh, comfort musical would be Beauty and the Beast. I love, that was my
first musical.
That was my first musical. That's crazy. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I got to play Belle. It was so much fun.
Iconic.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I don't really have a movie that I watch, but like comfort shows, I'll do New Girl, Office, and then Stranger Things.
Last rapid fire question. I recently discovered The Cruel Prince. Dallas just bought all the books because I've been hyping it up so much. I need you to do a quick elevator pitch of The Cruel Prince to Dallas whenever she watches this. That way she's like, you know what? It needs to move up on the TBR.
It is. Okay. Cruel Prince. Best story of my whole life. It is so good. As long as you go into it knowing that it's not a romance. A lot of people go into this book because of the fan art with, you know, Jude and Carden. And they think that's what this whole story is based around. When it's not, it's about Jude coming into her power, you know, this whole governmental problem, you know, power shifting and like, I don't know, it's like demographics. Like, it's so interesting the way that things are played, and you see Jude come into herself and find herself, and she's like, hey, I'm not a good person, and that's fine.
Yeah,
like, I don't care, like, that's, you know, whatever. And it gets you so invested. So like, as long as you go in knowing that this is about royal court, like basically governmental issues in this world, and playing chess with these characters with a hint of subtle like romance on the side with these characters, amazing. Like, you'll have the time of your life. Like, I love this series so much. And Jude is such a good female character that you will fall in love with her instantly.
She's so iconic.
She's so iconic. Like, ugh, I love her so much. That is my pitch.
Oh my gosh. You hear that, Dallas? You need to move it up on the list.
Yeah, please.
I'm hoping.
They're so easy reads, too. Like, they're not that big.
My gosh. Well, thank you so much, Liz, for chatting with me today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. It was so much fun to talk.
Before we close out, where can listeners find you? And is there anything that you would like to plug or to shout out?
You can find me on Instagram or TikTok at LizlaCosplay, all one word, nothing is capitalized. I'm mostly active on Instagram. Also, shameless plug, if y'all are into DC and y'all love DC characters, I am going to be in a YouTube series called Red Hood Resurrection. There are 5 episodes out right now, but I will be in episode 6, and I would love for y'all to check it out.
Everyone, make sure to check that out. And also, please go give Liz a follow and support her. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment, and follow us on all of our socials. Your support means a lot to us. Again, I'm Madison, and we'll see you next time. Stay goodish.